Welcome to this special edition of the First Intuition podcast. We're marking National Apprenticeship Week by catching up with former apprentices Rebecca Fay and Sarah Rand, who are going to share with us their experiences of undertaking their qualification using the apprenticeship programme. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to a special edition of the First Intuition podcast. My name is Ben Bullman, tutor and director at First Intuition. But today I am joined by two special guests. I'm joined by Rebecca Fay. Good afternoon, Rebecca.
Hi, Ben.
Or I'll call you Becca because I know Becca. I've taught Becca over the years. Becca was an apprentice. She's going to tell us more about her apprenticeship journey in a moment. But I'm also joined by Sarah Rand. Good afternoon, Sarah.
Hi, Ben.
And I also know Sarah because she's been in plenty of my classes as well. But Sarah did an apprenticeship and we're going to hear more about her apprenticeship story. This podcast linked up to National Apprenticeship Week. So we are at the end of National Apprenticeship Week when the podcast is being released. And we thought it would be a really good idea and an insightful podcast episode to speak to a couple of apprentices that have done it for real, because it's one thing us telling people what it's like to be an apprentice and do it, but it is much more powerful to hear it directly from people that have been there, done it, and got the t-shirt, and I should say got the certificate, because I hear congratulations are in order. Sarah, today as we're recording the podcast, you have got your final completion certificate and record that you've achieved your level 7 apprenticeship, haven't you?
Yep, finally there.
Well done. How was it communicated to you? Do you get that via an email?
I got an email which had, it suggested that my result was ready on the SEMA website for the project report, which is the final 4,000 word, I suppose, coursework. And yeah, it was I logged in and it was a pass. So really happy. And coincidence that it was today.
Many, many congratulations. What a brilliant, brilliant start to your day and start to your weekend. Fantastic. And the sun's shining. And although this is an audio podcast, I can see Becca and Sarah on the screen. And Sarah's got a massive smile on her face, which is brilliant. The more smiles we can see in the current situation, lockdown that we all find ourselves in, the better, I think. So fantastic. Right. Let me let you do a bit of an introduction to both of you with regards to what you're currently doing and where you are now. So Becca, where do you work? What do you do to start with?
Okay. So as Ben mentioned, I'm now qualified chartered certified accountant, ACCA. I'm working at Streets Chartered Accountants. They're based in Cambridge, a top 40 firm. So working in practice. My role generally consists of managing some small accounts cases, accounts prep, a little bit of tax, corporation tax. And sometimes, although I try to avoid it, a little bit of audit too. So yeah, that's a quick summary of where I'm at now.
Fantastic. So that role sees you dealing with lots of different clients in lots of different business sectors and industries. Must keep you busy.
Yeah, definitely. It tends to be sort of more heavily like smaller owner managed businesses, sort of in and around Cambridge and that sort of area. But yeah, definitely keeping us very busy at the moment.
Fantastic. And you did the ACCA qualification, didn't you?
Yeah, so I done ACCA. Well, I done AAT initially, levels 2, 3, and 4, and then moved on to ACCA and qualified last April. Coming up for a year now.
Fantastic. So you got through and finished before the country went into COVID lockdown stage one, didn't you? Which was a really nice time to finish, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I think, well, I sat my last exam literally, I think it was 2 weeks before the national lockdown was announced. So that was a very good timing, given that I then went and passed it. I don't think I'd be saying the same thing if I hadn't have passed it. But yes, I found out sort of mid-April time in lockdown. So unfortunately, didn't get quite the same celebrations as I think I would have done had we have not been locked up. But yeah, other than that, it was a very good time.
I'm sure as soon as we're allowed to, we will have some kind of big event party for all of the students that have qualified in lockdown, because I know that's a big thing that you guys have all missed, actually having a bit of a celebration, taking everyone out for a drink at lunchtime and stuff like that. So I'm sure we will have a party. Just got to be patient for a bit longer, I guess. Let me turn to Sarah. So Sarah, what's your current role and what are you doing at the moment?
My current role is management accountant. I actually started this role with News UK at the beginning of lockdown in March last year. So that was a challenge in itself. I haven't met many colleagues and have been working remotely for the majority of the time. But News is a really exciting company to work for, as you'd expect from big media. And I work within the wireless subsidiary finance team. This is where we have our digital podcasts and radio stations. And I look after a radio station in Belfast and also Times Radio, which is based in London and was launched in June last year. So exciting.
Wow. Fantastic. So although you also did a level 7 professional accountant apprenticeship that we'll talk about in a moment, you paired it with the CEMA, the Chartered Institute of Management Accounting qualification.
Yeah.
And that means your role is different to Becca's, that you work in-house for an organization dealing with internal elements of financial management, which is really exciting and sounds like in a really exciting industry dealing with radio stations and podcasts and media. That sounds pretty cool, Sarah.
It is, yeah. I just can't wait until we're allowed to travel, because then I can go to Belfast, I can go to London, meet the various presenters and the station directors that at the moment I'm business partnering through Zoom calls. It'll be a really welcome opportunity.
Not quite the same without the invites to the glamorous media parties and events that I'm sure when we are back to normal, you will be going to. So look forward to that.
Definitely.
Okay, obviously it's National Apprenticeship Week. We wanted to talk about your experiences of being apprentices. So let's go back to the very beginning. I'll start with you, Becca. How did you get your role and get onto an apprenticeship scheme in the first place?
I always feel like when I get asked this question that I'm not saying what people want to hear. But essentially, I kind of fell into it. I was adamant that I didn't want to go to university. I'd left school and I'd gone to a sixth form college and had done A-levels. And to be quite honest, it was like the worst 2 years of my life. I really didn't enjoy A-levels at all, which I think then sort of steered me further and further away from the university route. I was working part-time sort of around my A-levels anyway, just as like a lifeguard and sports coach. But it was at that point that my parents said to me, like, well, you best go and find yourself a job then, like a proper job, so to speak. So I was actually just on the apprenticeship website. I think it was the Cambridgeshire and Peterborough one, quite local to where we are. And there was this job role that came up and it was finance apprentice for a property investment company. I'd always sort of, I mean, you don't really link maths and accounting so closely together when you're involved, but when you sort of don't really have much of an idea before that, I think everyone who goes, when you say, oh, I'm an accountant, they're like, oh, you must be good at maths then. But I had always enjoyed maths up until this point, and I've got a couple of accountants in the family, so I kind of spoke with them, and yeah, I applied for this job, was lucky enough to get it, and that part of the job role was to train, do my level 2 AAT as an apprentice. So that's where it started out for me.
Well, fantastic. What about you, Sarah? How did you go about getting your first role and get on an apprenticeship scheme to start with?
I suppose there's parallels. I didn't really enjoy sixth form either. And I didn't feel like university was right for me. So that led me to have a year out. After A-levels, I did a bit of retail, a bit of hospitality, did a ski season, and I kind of realised that I needed a career path, because spending my time in the mountains wasn't going to allow me to support myself, as fun as it was. So my sort of finance career, as it is, didn't start off with apprenticeships in mind. I had to do some temp roles to gain a bit of experience before getting a permanent one. I then got a permanent role at Anglian Water in the payroll team, which was actually based under HR. And my manager there was really supportive. She helped me move internally to a finance team. And yeah, from there I was able to start with first intuition and start studying SEMA. And it was actually after the first, I'd completed the first level, the opportunity to become an apprentice came up. So I was already on the path, and I was attracted to the apprenticeship because of the extra skills that you gain. You get the soft skills, management, people, and sort of that real life business side that you don't necessarily learn just through the exams. But equally, props to my mum, because she studied SEMA. And so she was kind of a key role model for me, and not in a follow your footsteps kind of way, but she showed me that SEMA as a qualification allowed her to become finance director, CFO. So yeah, I knew when I wanted to choose a career what I wanted to gain from it, and finance just appeared to be that, you know, give me those opportunities.
Cool. You both mentioned not particularly getting on well at A-levels. Was there any pressure on you to go to university? Did you feel there was a bit of a stigma associated with not going to university, albeit you made the conscious decisions to not go? And did you get any negative connotations from friends, family, other people about taking a different route and doing an apprenticeship? Becca, what was your experiences of the pressure of feeling you should have gone to university?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there was pressure definitely from like the college as such. That was kind of like the natural route that as an academic student, they almost assumed that you were going to go down. So yeah, the UCAS application, and it was all about, oh, you need to do this, you'll get extra UCAS points to do this. And I'm kind of thinking, well, I don't actually want any UCAS points because I'm not going to use them. So, but from my family, so I've got an older brother and he went to university. We're obviously very different. He really enjoyed that and sort of never looked back. But for me, it was quite easy talking to my parents, really. I feel like they are kind of that generation where apprenticeships are frowned upon, maybe. But once I'd kind of got my point across there, it wasn't because I wanted to DOS. It was because I just really didn't feel like I was going to thrive from being in a university environment, and that actually I still wanted a career out of it and there was good prospects. Yeah, it was a fairly easy conversation to have, and there wasn't really much persuasion needed.
What about you, Sarah? Did you have any pressures of the need to apply for university?
Honestly, I suppose the word apprentice didn't have any sort of negativity. In terms of university, while I was at school, same as Becca, I was at a school that was 100% university driven. So the pressure was on to complete that UCAS form and gain those UCAS points, which I knew quite early on that university wasn't right for me. Apprenticeships weren't actually even discussed at the school I went to and at the sixth form. But when I did start my finance journey at Anglian Water, they already had a really strong apprenticeship scheme for engineers. And that sort of the support that I saw them receive and the qualification at the end, even though it was engineering as opposed to finance, looked like a really good path to get on board with.
I think that's a really important point and a strong message that lots of the large employers, in fact, pretty much every employer now in the country, is fully aware of apprenticeships and have got schemes available for people. That's been a big cultural shift that we've certainly seen. And I'm almost staggered when we go to do presentations now of the names of employers that I can put up on a screen that are actively recruiting and supporting apprenticeships. And people, I think, are genuinely still surprised by, oh, I didn't expect they would be doing it. We've got lots of examples. We've just signed up a round of apprentices from Green King, the large brewery in East Anglia for us. You've mentioned Anglian Water, Sarah. You've mentioned News, which is a big brand. Becca, lots of practice firms of accountants. So I know you're at Streets, but pretty much every practice firm of accountants, even the big four, when you're looking at the likes of Deloitte, they've got active apprenticeship schemes. So I think from that perspective, within the commercial world, it is something that's recognised. And hopefully that the message that you gave, Sarah, that at school when you were there, it wasn't even mentioned, that's been another big change we've seen. And that's really only been in the last couple of years. But I think sixth form colleges are a lot more on board now with advising students that there is an alternative path to the UCAS route to go to uni.
I mean, additionally, financially, it's a no-brainer. You earn money and university costs money. And I suppose having a brother 5 years older, as he was moving up the pay scale, something that was a really tiny percentage to start with, as soon as you start earning, you know, decent money, it's a holiday.
Yeah, let's talk about that then. So that's one of the big advantages to you guys, I guess, and anyone else on an apprenticeship scheme, that you don't have the student debt and loans that you would get coming out of university. But equally, the other win on this scenario is you're also paid as an employee of the employer that you're doing your apprenticeship with. So you kind of get that double financial benefit. Yeah. Becca, did that help you?
Yeah, I mean, when we sort of talked about the stigma a little bit, around like my group of friends, majority of them were either going to university or at university. And the others were kind of, so they were working, they were earning money, but they were almost in like a dead end job. So it was like just a bit of a part of a puzzle where they're kind of like, well, I'm earning money, this is great, but like that money's never going to get any better. Like they're always going to be on that pay scale if they were to stay in that job. So for me, I was kind of like, well, I'm learning as you would at university, but I'm also earning and there's a career here. So yeah, like Sarah said, it was a no-brainer from that aspect.
Cool. So you've both mentioned the professional qualifications that you got alongside your apprenticeship. So Becca, you did AAT to start with and got your full AAT qualification. You then went on to get the ACCA qualification at level 7. Sarah, you've now got your full CEMA qualification. I suppose thinking around that, there's the technical qualification that you get, but you mentioned, Sarah, the additional skills. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on why you think the apprenticeship scheme helped you to get more than just a piece of paper that says you are now both chartered accountants. Sarah, what skills particularly stand out for you on your programme?
The apprenticeship, it takes that finance qualification, whether that's ACCA or in my case, CEMA, and it builds on key areas that aren't directly covered, but that are vital for career progression. The hard skills, exams, knowledge, all that's brilliant, but without the ability to put those into context and deliver the information successfully in a way that, you know, adds value to the business, the use of those skills and the knowledge is limited. I'm finally a management accountant, and that's brilliant, but the role allows me to use skills that play an exciting part, providing business partners with the information they need to drive the actual business decisions. And these skills for communication, especially building relationships, all of that's included in the apprenticeship. And without that, I don't think I'd be as effective at my role.
Fantastic. Becca, what about you? Any standout skills aside from just being good with numbers and good at doing accounts, any other skills that your apprenticeship got you to work on, reflect on, that you've used going forward in your further career?
I think the highlighted soft skills for me are kind of the building relationships, the people skills, the leadership skills, like the management skills, because it's all well and good, like Zara said, like having your technical qualification, but actually, like, if you can't interact with people, if you can't manage people, if you can't work with people, then you're sort of only halfway there. It really does like combine the two aspects of like the bigger picture that employers are probably looking for in an individual. So I think if you're lined up against someone who has literally just done the exams and the qualification as opposed to the soft skills aside that, I'd be fairly confident in saying that you're a step ahead by having those additional skills.
100%. You use the term, and a lot of people call them soft skills. We get, and I certainly get shot down by my internal department, we've rebranded those as impact skills. And I fully do believe they are the skills that are most impactful when you are in your workplace or when you are applying for additional roles or promotions. I had the privilege, and you guys will remember, towards the end of your level 7 apprenticeship, one of the skills days is a bit of a mini Dragon's Den scenario. Do you remember doing that skills day when you have to do a bit of a pitch and put a presentation together in a team? And I had the privilege of doing that. They were the final level 7 guys just before Christmas. And I am always blown away by how much energy, enthusiasm, professionalism these guys bring to doing a pitch. And they are the things that really stand out. Very rarely have I heard someone in an accountancy finance role be given great plaudits and credit for being good at budgets or being able to do a tax return correctly. That's a given, isn't it? And no one remembers you for those things. Yeah, you have to be good at those things. And I'm not dismissing the technical side of the world in finance that we work in. But it's the impact skills that really stand you out. That's the thing that people will remember you for. The ability to stand up and present to a group of people. The ability to chair a meeting. The ability to take on some leadership, to manage other people, to deal with a crisis, to make a decision. And they're the skills that really are embedded within the apprenticeship standards. Fantastic. Sarah, you obviously finished your apprenticeship during lockdown. I'd be interested to know how you feel being an apprentice helped you do that. Did it give you any additional motivation to keep going in what were pretty uncertain times last year with regards to exams and study with other stuff, understandably, going on in people's lives?
Yeah, I think it really did. So as well as completing the apprenticeship in lockdown, I also started a new job. So being with a new employer, I think it's a challenge in itself, but knowing that I had support from the skills coach and from the college in general was a massive help. And all of the work that I'd already done, it would be silly to, you know, waste all of that just because things get challenging. I suppose in terms of support from college, I mean, First Intuition is brilliant. From the admin team, they're always friendly and incredibly helpful, to the tutors and the coaches who put the students at the heart of everything they do. The support's second to none, and no matter what you need, they're there to help. So knowing that there's always someone that you can go to just was, it was like really, really, really useful and helpful and made it just a bit easier.
And it's really interesting just to reflect on your new role, because you were over halfway through your level 7 apprenticeship at the time you left one employer and picked up the new role with another one. And people listening might not be aware, but you were able to transfer your apprenticeship and picked up where you left off, weren't you? I know you were quite proactive in trying to ensure that your new employer did continue to offer you the apprenticeship scheme to get finished off. I don't know if you want to add a bit more around that, because people might not be aware that you can move employment during your apprenticeship.
Yeah, absolutely. If the employer that you go to doesn't already have them, First Intuition, obviously your team can can open up that communication channel and ensure that if they don't already hold them, that they could start getting that government funding and start their own apprenticeship scheme. However, I was quite lucky. News UK already had an apprenticeship scheme, although they weren't doing level sevens. It was taking that approach where I knew what I wanted. For me, carrying on the apprenticeship was non-negotiable. It wasn't something I was willing to give up. So Ollie was really, really helpful. He contacted the student manager at News UK, and yeah, we made it work.
And it's all worked out for the good, because you are now a fully qualified SEMA accountant, as well as a fully finalised and finished level 7 apprentice. So happy ending for this one, Sarah. Brilliant. Well done. Becca, from your perspective, you've obviously gone on now. You qualified at the start of last year, but you've had a bit of a promotion and some more tasks at work. You now look after some of the apprentices, don't you, that are studying with the firm?
Yeah. Again, it's those management skills sort of coming into place. And obviously I was fresh out of the apprenticeship route the whole way through. And I think it's just kind of like you want the other students and colleagues around you to get the best out of it as well, and to kind of thrive from that apprenticeship route. So on one side, it's kind of like having someone in-house who can hopefully answer a lot of their questions or queries or whatever with the apprenticeship and sort of protocols or whatnot. But also, yeah, just having someone to go to and maybe a bit of encouragement, to get the best out of the apprenticeship route. Because like Zara's very well said, it can be super beneficial if you make the most out of it.
100%. And it is hard work. And I know you're both really modest, but I'm going to say it for you. I couldn't think of two better people to promote the apprenticeships to people that are now doing it or going on to do it. I think you guys are fantastic role models of people that did work really, really hard, commit a lot of your own energy and enthusiasm into it. But like most things in life, you get out what you put in. And I think you're both testament to saying you've got as much, if not more, out of doing the apprenticeship than you've had to put in to get there. So I think it's worked very, very well for both of you, but also for your employers now that have kind of supported you through that and have got two fully qualified people with some super skills in management, leadership, making decisions. So I can clearly see this being very beneficial to everybody. Becca, I've just said you're modest. I'm going to mention it. You hate it. I can see Becca on the screen now. Her eyes have just kind of closed, thinking, oh no, Ben's going to mention. You did actually win quite a prestigious award with the AAT back in 2017-18, didn't you? When you were an apprentice finishing your level 4 studies with the AAT. You were their nationwide apprentice of the year. How did that pan out for you?
Essentially, I mean, I didn't see it coming, that was for sure. I just remember it was about this time in 2017, I kind of got an email from Amy at FI saying, oh, there's this award, we're going to nominate you for it. Are you happy for us to go ahead with it? And I was kind of like, yeah, why not? I mean, I don't know how anyone else feels, but when those sort of conversations are had, you think, well, I'm never going to win it. So yeah, go ahead. For me, when I was doing sort of my level 3-4 apprenticeship, I was just trying to get the best out of the opportunity that I had. So when we were set, like, I think they've changed slightly since I was doing it, but when you were set like the project tasks and all the additional work that come with the apprenticeship, I was just kind of like, well, why would you not try and do this to the best of your ability? And why would you not, yeah, try and get the best out of it? So for me, it was just one of those things, like I was just doing what I was doing. It was a pleasant surprise. I actually remember, I think it got shortlisted to 3 or 4 who they have a AAT annual conference. Is it Birmingham? And the 3 or 4 of us that were shortlisted were all invited to go along there. And it's like an evening dinner and presentation. There's lots of other awards, which I think FI have won quite a few of in numerous years. And yeah, then on the evening, I kind of turned up and there was a seating plan, and you go and find your name. And then next to me, I'm sat next to Mark Farrar, the CEO of AAT, which again, I was like, what do I say to this guy? Like, I'm at a dinner. But the whole experience of those sort of 3 months from January to April, May time were, yeah, a little bit. And there was, until on the evening when my name was called out, didn't really realise the how much of a big thing it was as well, like the National Award. And yeah, I do feel like it's being milked by the AAT and lots of people involved, the amount of time it gets brought up. But yeah,
something that you should be very proud of still. And a few little birdies, I wasn't at the awards dinner, but a few little birdies from FI said you did us and yourself proud on that table next to the chief executive of the AAT. So well done. Another thing that I just wanted to touch on, because I still hear this from people from outside of the apprenticeship world, you've talked about different levels, and I still think there's a bit of a perception that an apprenticeship is an apprenticeship is an apprenticeship. Beck has done a progression through level 2 into 3 into 4 into 7, and that works fantastically. You can go through the ranks. Level 7 is the highest level of apprenticeship you can get in England, and that is seen as a higher level than degree university. This is post-grad master's degree level stuff. So ultimately, your professional qualification has got you exactly the same certificate that you would have got if you'd been on a graduate pathway. And another thing that people forget is graduates now coming out of university are also eligible for apprenticeship schemes. So we're quite often faced with people that have been to university that are told you've still got to be an apprentice to get your CEMA or ACCA. So reflecting back, you've come out with a qualification that even if you'd gone to university, the qualifications you guys have got are the highest qualifications you can get in our industry. You are both chartered accountants. And Sarah, I know you particularly reflecting when we were just having a chat off air before we started about you think you've got more than just a CEMA certificate to your name having done it. What's your kind of final takeaway thought on what you feel you've got now finishing off and having done your level 7?
I've got so much. The level 7 is, it's like the finance qualification, but with those extra skills that you really need to take into a successful career. And I mean, personally, the confidence I've gained from completing this apprenticeship, it means I'm already looking to the future and what I could achieve, you know, finance manager, head of finance, FD, CFO, who knows? But the thing is, it's my choice how far I take it. But I've got the base there anyway. Also, the resilience, especially with lockdown, I've got more resilience than I ever thought would be possible. And I failed exams. that crushed feeling when you come out and you failed an exam. But encouragement from the skills coach and the tutors meant I pushed through and passed. And you'll never forget that feeling of walking out of the exam centre or looking on the website of your chosen qualification and seeing a pass. Yeah, it's that sense of achievement, as well as all of the other skills that you gain. I mean, from a sort of business perspective, it's been absolutely vital, these skills. We're in challenging times. External factors are constantly changing the financial landscape. So, I mean, employer perspective, personal perspective, it's so worth doing.
Fantastic. And Beck, a final thought from you, if you were speaking, as you do, to the people joining your firm as apprentices, or if you were going back in time to speak to yourself when you were coming out of sixth form college, what tips would you give your younger self or any younger apprentices thinking of starting their programs?
just do it. I mean, for me, hindsight is a wonderful thing. Like when I look back and say like, oh, I started this apprenticeship, the only thing that I would have changed is that I would have done it 2 years earlier and I wouldn't have gone to sixth form and done my A levels first. It's really difficult because you don't want to close doors before you open them in terms of like, oh, but that's really not what you're doing. So just because you don't go to university doesn't mean that you're closing any doors. There's always other routes, and that's proven with the apprenticeship, because some of my colleagues, or a lot of my colleagues actually that I work with now, they've come from university and now they're doing the qualification that I done. So just because they went to university, they don't get there any quicker. And like Ben and Sarah both said, we all come out of it at the end with the same qualification. It's just a different route. So 100%, if you're thinking about apprenticeship, then go for it.
Fantastic. Well, the strap line for this National Apprenticeship Week is it's going to be amazing. And I think you two have been amazing today on the podcast. So thank you for joining me, taking time out of your busy schedules, because I know you're both now busy managing your teams, sorting out your internal and external financial responsibilities. But you've been amazing for joining me. I think you've both been amazing apprentices, and you've both given people, I think, a bit of an amazing reflection on what it's like to be an apprentice and what you have personally gained out of it. So thank you both so much. Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you like this episode, go back and listen to our catalogue of back episodes. Subscribe, share the link with your friends, with your family, and I will see you hear from me soon on a further episode of the First Intuition Podcast. Thank you all very much.